Hey y'all, welcome to the Radical Radiance Show. This is your host, Camille Rose Fields, coming at you with episode number 11 with the incredible sustainable fashion designer, Roxy Sugar, of one of my all-time favorite companies, Angel Rocks. I absolutely love working with Angel Rocks. I've been doing some modeling here and there for them for about a year, and they are just such a joy to get to know, and I'm so excited to have recorded this interview with Roxy, the founder of the company and designer. She is just a total designing badass, witchy goddess mama who you're gonna just absolutely love. And we talked a little bit about her own, you know, personal fashion journey, as well as what she faces in the sustainable clothing industry right now. You guys know this is something I am super passionate about, is sustainable fashion in all of the ways, whether that's supporting a amazing sustainable clothing company or finding a way to source secondhand products or clothing. There's just so many ways that we can help support the slow fashion movement right now. And I'm so excited to introduce you all to Angel Rocks. It is just absolutely my favorite sustainable line to wear and rock these days. So without further ado, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Roxy. For over 20 years, fashion designer Roxy Sugar has been on the forefront of the sustainable clothing movement. Her trademark designs and plant-based clothing inspire customers, or angels as she calls them, to feel good from within. She is committed to charity, and her mantra is and always has been, may peace prevail.
Thank you so much, Roxy, for coming on the Radical Radiance Show.
Thank you, Camille, for having me. It's an absolute joy.
I'm so excited you're here. Just to start, I would love to hear a little bit more about what drew you to the world of fashion. Not necessarily sustainable fashion, but I imagine this is maybe like since a little girl or something of this nature. What drew you to the world of fashion?
Absolutely. Well, I was blessed to have two different grandmothers. Two of my grannies taught me how to sew about the age of 8. Mm. And as soon as I made my first little full circle purple dotted Swiss skirt and like embroidered ducks on the edge, I was done. I was in love. And I had a little oscillation maybe from the ages of 8 to 10 of like, fashion designer, ballerina. Once I realized I wasn't going to go on point, it's fashion all the way.
That's amazing. So I am curious, what about the fashion world has inspired you to have a look at being more sustainable in your own brand, in your own line? What challenges do you face as a company, you know, sort of trying to make that decision? Do I go in this more sustainable route?
Yeah. Well, at this point, there's no other route for us. And for me, very early on in fashion and working for other fashion companies before I was able to launch my own brand, just the very nature of fashion, although I came into it enjoying, you know, oh darling, fabulous, but then quickly came to understand true style is inherent and is something that individuals develop, but has nothing to do with trends or with any kind of fashion dictates. And as I was increasingly in fashion in this like obsessive need for more, more, quicker, quicker, what's new, what's next, what's new, what's next, what's in, what's out. And I just felt the whole thing, the whole engine was wasteful. And it wasn't addressing to me what I felt like as we moved into the 21st century, that was going to be the hallmark of the 21st century, mm-hmm. is the rise of the individual mm-hmm. as being the most important fashion element, mm-hmm. not what trend are we following now. Mm-hmm. And I think that with each passing year, we're seeing that to be absolutely the case. It's right. about finding what cut of jean works best for your body,
yeah.
not working your body into whatever cut of jean is supposed to be the norm. Right. And so, you know, that wastefulness of very spirit of fashion mm. was one of the first things that really started turning me off mm. from that traditional fashion yeah. model and yeah. wanting to be about something that can be timeless and transcend. Right. And then, you know, as we increasingly got more and more active and busy lifestyles, pieces that could morph and be versatile and work for us for more than just one look or one occasion, that mm-hmm. could travel with us mm-hmm. and take us from active to wellness to dinner out mm-hmm. to super sexy to curled up and leave me alone, mm-hmm. you know, or like mm-hmm. hide under my hood. And mm-hmm. and so that idea of versatility became very a key point of sustainability for me as well. And
right.
then once the better fabric started coming online, it
yeah.
really opened the floodgates.
Yeah. So you kind of just led into my next question is, I knowing just a little bit about your history and your company's history, you started sustainable practices before there was sort of this big buzz about sustainable fashion that is now very global and almost there's a huge spectrum of quality, I feel, out on the market right now if you're looking for new fashion, new sustainable fashion. And so can you speak a little bit about what that was like being sort of one of the, you know, first brands to discover there's some more sustainable ways to do this?
Absolutely. Well, in fact, I mean, before I ever got to start Angel Rocks and, you know, then Sugar, the very first line that I had put together was called Think. And it was all hemp-based. Mm. And I made a sample collection, beautiful prototypes. But at that point, hemp, it felt like
yeah.
cardboard. It yeah. was not cozy.
That was my first intro to sustainable fashion.
And that was in the mid-90s.
Pretty baggy hemp clothing.
Yeah, yeah. And so needless to say, it wasn't, you know, I was already wanting to be in that direction. And it was all about ecology and sustainability
right.
and thinking ahead to that. But the technologies weren't quite caught up for it to be truly practical for every day yet.
Right.
So fast forward. When, you know, I had started Angel Rocks, gotten it out of the gate, and was introduced to the first time I got my hands on a piece of bamboo knit fabric. Mm. And I was like, wow, this feels really special. You know, mm. it just immediately, you wanted to be snuggled up in it. It mm-hmm. felt like a blanket. It felt comforting.
Yeah.
Knowing, you know, those the early ideas of there being natural antimicrobial properties to bamboo and
right.
still to this day, our products, you can wear them multiple days and they don't really gather odor the way that I find some of my cotton pieces do. Mm-hmm. Although love cotton mm-hmm. always. But you know, it just seemed like a really great, great next step. And then had, of course, also the, you know, lustrous movement and flow and, you know,
right.
all that funness that we like in our layers.
Right. So, and this is fun because you're touching on other questions that I have. And so I want to hop right on over to bamboo because it's such a luscious feeling fabric. And I'm curious if you can elaborate a little on the sustainability of bamboo and how one thing that I know, I think off the top of my head, is it's either the world's fastest growing grass or one of the world's fastest growing
yeah.
grass. I've actually lived in Hawaii on a farm where there was a big patch of bamboo that, you know, it was our job to sort of keep this patch under control. It will take over the entire property.
It can be invasive. I know in the South, people are like, oh, watch out for bamboo. It'll take over
everything. Right.
You know, but in terms of a renewable resource, yes, I think it grows like a foot a day or something.
It's
like
something insane. Yeah.
It also, you know, from my knowledge, takes very little water. Mm. It takes no extra irrigation or extra water usage. It takes no fertilizers or stimulants or protectants to help it grow.
And no pesticides, as far as I know.
Exactly, no pesticides. So it really is, you know, from a raw source material, of course, sustainably farmed, of course, not cutting down bamboo virgin forest where panda reside.
Yes,
but,
of course.
You know, sustainably produced, it is so fast to renew. And so as a raw resource, I think it has got to be one of the just best options out there is the least taxing on the earth, because we all love organic cotton, but it taxes a lot of systems to get that to happen. Especially water.
I see more and more recycled fabrics coming onto the market, and the issue that you have with that is that you're still going to be, you know, through every wash, it's an oil derivative.
Still plastic particles going into
the water stream, and so, and that does end up somewhere. You know, it doesn't end up maybe in your house, but I also really think. As soon as I knew polyester fabrics and nylon, and there's some other words in there. Acrylamide is a new fancy word. I remember like seeing that on a shelf, and I had to Google it from my phone in the store, because I was like, there's no way that's a natural product. It sounds very acrylic. What a fancier word.
Exactly. Well, and I mean, anything, and that's, I applaud that people are trying to recycle, you know, plastic bottles and make them into things.
Right.
But I, you know, both from the actual standpoint of no matter what, it is still oil derived plastic that is going to stay in that form in some way forever and possibly end up polluting
your body.
Absolutely.
I know you're going to say polluting the planet, but actually, like, you can pollute
your
body
on your skin,
with
of course.
Plastic. And so our skin is absorbing, small amounts of everything that it's putting.
Because you've got this plastic barrier between you and air and your skin breathing. And so for me too, from a comfort standpoint, I mean, I can't, sometimes someone will give me some novelty sweet tea, or so you'll go and get, a tourist tea, and you're so stoked about it. But the second I put it on, I can tell if it's polycotton. I can tell if there's polyester in it.
Oh yeah, I can tell. I can even tell, like, I like to thrift. And so oftentimes I'll be, you know, searching through a consignment store or thrift shop rack, and I just feel.
Yeah.
And then I can feel when something is 100% merino wool or something that I want to, you know, like, feel good about, like a secondhand version of. But it's as soon as you know how to start telling what.
Once you get the hand feel for natural fibers, you can't go back. I mean, we were looking at a rug for our house yesterday, and like, it has to be wool or cotton.
Yeah.
Like, I do not want to put.
Yeah. A plastic, you know. Mm-mm,
polyprene, anything oil derivative.
Right. Completely.
Yeah.
So one of the other ways that you kind of touched on a little while ago with your line being so sustainable is the fact that you don't need to wash it after every use. Yep. And I really appreciate that. And on top of that, well, just to elaborate that on a little bit, I can wear something multiple days in a row or multiple days, and it does not lose any of its shape. And even like, you know, I've done this with jeans for many years. I'll wear them a few times, but they still, like, they'll lose their shape.
Yeah.
And so what I really appreciate about the fabrics that you use is it doesn't seem to lose any shape or feel or anything, even many days into its use.
I've worked with our supplier to really try for the category of a, you know, stretch knit to have it be just the plushest and most quality that we possibly can.
Right.
And with a, you know, a good amount of retention.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not perfect. I know some days when I go through like a maybe 4 days straight in the same base, it's ready for a bath after
completely.
Maybe in the knees, you can tell I was up and down a whole lot, but you know, it really, really performs exceedingly well. And so we're so thrilled that customers are happy with that and satisfied with that and know that they're getting their value out of it. And I mean, to me, laundering less is another sustainable action.
Exactly.
Not to mention saving your time and, you know, insanity. But less water using, you know, less waste. So I think that's another great thing whenever you can get away with not forcing it through yet another load of laundry is a great aspect. And for most pieces, you know, able to wear them and then just kind of hang them back up and boom, they're gorgeous and ready to go again.
Yeah.
So, you know, certain pieces, especially like, you know, the jackets, the Cardis, the Cocos, the Shires, dozens, it does not need to be washed. I probably shouldn't even admit how many times.
That's so fun. So the other aspect of this sustainability is this functionality with each piece, or maybe not every single piece, but something I really appreciate is that you have created a line where so many pieces eliminate the need for more purchases, more, you know, more spending and that sort of thing.
Yes.
Was that something that, you know, coming out of that early stages in the fashion industry that you were inspired by then? Or is that something that developed over time with the functional, you know, the pieces?
You know, I think everything is an evolution and, you know, including design and, you know, the best ideas that you have. And as my early pieces that were created toward versatility and as they evolved and, you know, we understood the increased versatility to them, the more we find it, the more we uncover it through like the kind of village and community. It's like this beautiful collaborative effort, but definitely that idea of if one piece can give you a skirt and a dress and a shawl and a jacket, you don't need all those pieces, you know, at least not, you know, at once. And certainly when you travel, but just for your daily wardrobe, for ease and simplicity, less is more these days. And we're all looking for, you know, more space, more clarity, less clutter, less over consumption and more enjoyment of each day.
Right. Right. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Do you find it difficult to... Okay, so I'm going to give a little bit more background on this question. There's a huge explosion in the sustainable fashion industry happening, and a lot of this is amazing. And I do personally feel a lot of companies are kind of taking advantage of the way the fashion industry has already been set up. And so they're just running organic cotton through the same system, right? The same sort of like exploiting certain communities and certain people and all of this. Do you find it difficult as a brand where, you know, I know that you produce everything in-house and it's
right
not
here
over
where we're sitting.
Right, literally
right
in this room, you guys.
Yes.
And you're, you know, and it's not produced overseas and like you really have that, the only like word coming to mind is nose to tail, which is a farm to table approach, but you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like a like seed to start.
I used to say like farm to finish,
farm
you know,
to finish,
but as much as
you know
possible.
What I mean? Do you find it hard to sort of keep yourselves apart from the, I use the term greenwashing And I don't use that lightly, but there's a lot of greenwashing happening with, you know, companies touting sustainability.
Well, I think, you know,
how do you all set yourselves apart from that, I guess?
Yeah, it's, I mean, all of it is baby steps. That's right. all of us can do. I mean, if you're really going to be green and sustainable, you live off the grid, as you know, Camille, you know, and, you know, and you really, you grow it, you knit it, you carve it, you know, and that's not going to be work for the mass majority of us, but you make all the right baby steps you can. So we're trying to use the right fabric of the earth, plant derived, that will return to the earth and feel good in the process. Crafting and making it all right here in Maine. You know, so keeping it localized, both in terms of our production and our fabric is knit and finished the closest we can possibly find it, which is just our neighbors to the north in Quebec. And so it is like a 4 or 5 hour drive to get here. So I don't even get fabrics from California, because to me that's too much fuel in transit. It's keeping it as localized as we can. And then, you know, things like, of course, the versatility of the products, being able to use them multiple ways, but also designing all of our little, what we almost, our little global warming perfect bits, but everything from our little headbands to our sleeves, and really making sure we keep creating all these pieces that will fit into any little holes. So we're using the utilization of our fabric as much as possible. So just, you know,
scraps don't, they're not real.
They don't get wasted. And even the scraps, we have all these, you know, whether they're independent kind of crafters or makers, or, you know, taking a lot of those bags of any final remnant unusual scraps and making other things out of them, whether it's, you know, other fashion, or the, I had one of the terrible flu bugs last week, but one of our team members has been braiding our kind of not remnants, but our salvage edges into rugs. So blankets. Wow. So this, and it's a weighted blanket. And so when I was at my sickest, it's like a Reiki blanket, and the weight of it just really helped heal me.
That is really cool.
Yeah. So we're just trying to make sure there is as little waste as possible. And then trying to take all the practices we can, you know, on every level to, you know, use recycled materials and paper. We print everything in house, so we don't end up with gross bulk extra of printed and marketing materials and just all those little baby steps to try to do do our best at preserving this planet for our future.
And it's really beautiful. You can really feel that when you come in here too. And I know a lot of people don't get the behind the scenes headquarters tours like I do, but
we love here.
I just, you can really feel that this whole entire space has been created with sustainability in mind. And there's, you know, like very little plastic I've seen, or, and there's beautiful metal and rustic wood that looks like salvage wood. It probably is, you know, pieces that are created for this space, and adorable vintage suitcases and whatnot. So it just really, it like comes across in the vibe
that
when you walk
so
in,
much.
Just
Thank
so you know.
It's so wonderful that that gets communicated through space.
So another thing that I really feel is so present when you come in here, and something that I think not all companies are doing in the best way, but I've noticed you have a real company culture, and it's inspiring. It's really inspiring. And you can tell, like, every single time I've been here, there's many happy all happy faces when you walk in. Everyone is just so chipper and happy, and it looks like they just absolutely love their job, and it's the best job they've ever had. And several people have, you know, described these feelings of that to me. And
we have a great team.
Yeah,
where
does that stem from, I guess? Do you just feel like that was, you know, some people, I feel like that's more learned to step out of that corporate world and really create a culture within a group or a company. Yeah.
Well, I think our particular culture is really founded on sort of our united goal, which is to offer our customers and our angels not just clothing that offers them comfort and joy, but the attention, the love, the service, the reinforcement of how beautiful they are, each and every one of them, no matter their age, their stage, their circumstance, whatever they're going through in life, they are worthy and deserving to feel good and to know they are beautiful from the inside out. And so I think it's that mission that really feeds everybody here a lot, and whether it's the staff at Sugar who get to do that really on the front lines directly, and they see these amazing transformations happen with women as they, you know, relax and start to see themselves in this joyful way. And, you know, everything, in fact, you know, there was the other day we'd landed and there was a customer who several team members were, you know, feeling a little on their frayed edge on how much love she was needing and, you know, and looking for very special circumstances and special considerations. And, and you know, there was some talk from boys, of course, but, you know, like time for her to move to the curb. I'm like, absolutely not. What we need to do is figure out how we can give her the love she's looking for and the support that she needs so that she can feel great about whatever purchase she's making, however big or small. And those moments are always feel really good to, you know, just to be able to then get everybody just kind of reoriented on love as opposed to, you know, frustration or whatever is, you know, make it a little harder that moment.
That's beautiful. And everybody gets to be in on the mission.
And I think everybody does feel it. So it's about love.
Prior to being, you know, immersed in the fashion industry and having this brand in line that you created, were you already in a more like eco-sounded or sustainable lifestyle? Or was this something that was, you know, inspired from your work in the fashion industry?
It's, I think it's, it's not, I mean, I grew up in the 80s with big hair in Alabama. So it, I, you know, outside of, you know, we love to get out there, you know, in nature for sure. I think I've always had a super affinity for nature and earth, but really it was the evolution of growing and maturing and as a woman and then as a mother and then, you know, just understanding the implications of, you know, our actions and both for us and now in our current state and for the future. And then also just, you know, dietary and eating and health concerns and just everything kept folding into basically sustainability and more, you know, movements toward vegan and movements away from kind of the gross industrial complex that we've been working from that is really causing all the havoc and a movement towards simplicity. And even though I say all that, my earliest roots really going, harkening back to the grannies in Oklahoma were on the farm and hearing granny talk about all the farm stories when she was growing up and scratching out a living in Oklahoma and the Dust Bowl days of the Depression, you know, that that kind of brings it home too. So there's probably a deep trickle there that, you know, just finally found its little seedling that got to start coming to light once I started out on my own.
That's beautiful. I love that. I can see a young Roxy, super spunky and ready to rock the world.
I know, although I was
purple polka dot.
Exactly. Except for that, I was in my purple polka dot skirt wanting to twirl round and round. I didn't necessarily want to go pick beans in the garden under that hot Oklahoma sun.
Granny. Yeah. You're on your own. Okay. So I have one question left for you.
Yeah.
And I ask everybody that comes on the show, what is something in your opinion or in your mind that our listeners can start doing right away to feel more radiant in their lives?
I think one of the things I do for myself as well is along with as in the morning as, you know, of course, putting on my natural face oil and hydrating and, you know, putting as many little good positive tinctures in is to look at myself and to smile and to say, yes. Yes, all good. Yes. Let's go. And just keep that picture in my head, you know, the rest of the day. No matter how crazy I probably look half the time during the day, as I'm like, just that picture is what I keep in my head is yes.
I absolutely love that. Yeah. I'm like, I'm starting that tonight, tomorrow. Yeah. Like, I'll start tomorrow.
Yeah, or tonight, anytime. Whatever. Anytime. Just, you know, look yourself right in the eye and be like, yes, I thankful for this day and grateful for this day and to be here and to experience this incredible life. It's just, it's an amazing gift.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, it's mind blowing.
Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I love you so much. You inspire me so much every day. That's probably the number one thing anybody could do for themselves is tune in to Radical Radiance and follow Camille. All right.
Y'all, thank you so much for joining me and tuning into the Radical Radiance Show. If you have a chance and you want to leave me a review, you can do that anywhere that you listen to your podcast or leave a comment over on the blog, CamilleRoseFields.com. Thanks so much for listening and be sure to hit that subscribe button so you can be alerted every week when I have a new episode coming out for you.